It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
The Seminole Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio War Chant TV begins now. I'm Jeff. That is Ira. Corey will be along, we're told, shortly. What's up, brother? You good?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm worried about our guy.
Yeah. So
hopefully he'll show up here shortly.
Hopefully he'll make it in. But you saw the seamless effort there. We got it worked out. We're all good to go. I'm still patting myself on the back a week later.
You should be.
I'm going to have to keep doing this until I feel confident enough not to draw attention to it in some way.
You're killing it. And Corey is, as we said, he'll be here. He could be here in the first segment, might be the second segment. Having some technical difficulties up there in the Atlanta area.
It's all right. We'll continue. We've done this many times together, sir. We can make it happen, as I should say. The Seminole Headlines underway, and we would have to begin, as we do all the time, with or without Corey, by saying, yay, sausage! Our good friends at Register Sausage. Always happy to have them on board and excited to hear about what's new because they just keep adding stores.
Yeah, and I actually just had a conversation with Will over there today, and they've got some new events. Maybe down coming in the pipeline, maybe some events in the Tallahassee area and across North Florida you got to be on the lookout for. We'll definitely announce those when they happen. They also had a promo code this week. I'm trying to pull it up. I'll find it here in a second. He had a new promo code because that's what Ben does. He's all about the promo codes.
He's this the week, king of the promo code.
If you go to registermeats.com, you can have it delivered. I think it was 10% off. I hope I'm not wrong.
Just make it up, Ira. We've done that before for restaurants and other sponsors. We just might, tell people it's free.
I think it might be on the gram. We'll check it out. I'll find that promo code for you. But yeah, if you don't need the promo code, if you live in the area of the North Florida, up into Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, down to Tampa, Jacksonville, over in the Panhandle, go to your local grocery store and they should carry it. I was just telling somebody the other day that part of the kind of the grassroots movement that has led Registers to get such an expanded footprint really was people just going in their grocery store saying, hey, do you carry Register sausage? And then they're basically the workers talking to the meat managers, talking to the store managers,
meat managers,
talking to distributors and getting it in their store. So you can do that as well. Or you go to registermeats.com and have it delivered. And I'll find that promo code for you because I think it's like 10% off.
Might be 40%. You better find it. I mean, it might
by the end of the show, it might be 70% off.
Hey, so where should we begin? Should we begin with, I think there are growing concerns that people have. I should probably address this because I've done some research and Ira, you're always connected. And I think we can probably begin to navigate this a little bit. But just looking from the chat and also our boards on warchant.com, and Twitter and email and all of the ways in which people communicate with us, people are beginning to get concerned that Florida State's going to do nothing in the transfer portal at this point. But I think we should start with the fact that if we're being honest, they really couldn't do anything if they wanted to because nobody's leaving.
Well, and also it's not like they had any desperate needs.
Right. No,
I
desperate
mean, there,
needs.
There were yeah. I mean, I think receiver feels more of a compelling need than it did before the spring.
Sure.
I think we came into the spring thinking, feeling pretty good about that receiver core. Not so much after the whole spring, but then also the showcase. So you'd like to see them get one there. I still feel pretty confident they will. The need at defensive tackle is more about depth. And I don't think they're in a panic mode. If they didn't get somebody, they do have somebody visiting this week, a guy who's a Division II defensive tackle,
right,
who's getting a lot of interest from Power Five schools now. So maybe you still add one there, but I never thought this was going to be a big shopping spree, you know, maybe three guys, maybe three or four. But like you said, if they don't have anybody else leave, it's going to be hard to fill a lot of spots.
Yeah. You start with the fact that they couldn't really go out and make a bunch of moves if they wanted to, starting with the numbers. You got to start with the numbers. How much space do you have? And unless there was, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys deciding to go elsewhere, it wasn't going to open up spots. And so you've only, you know, you've only had the couple there. And so you just, you're kind of, you know, Vandrevious Jacobs left, Greedy Vance left. And other than that, you're kind of like, well, all right. You know, you still need more guys to leave. That could be announced as we go on down the line. That's the other thing. There's no like looming midnight deadline. Your name's got to be in the portal, right? but you don't necessarily have to choose. And how quickly you decide where to go after that, a lot of time could go by. So there's that factor. And then I think the other of it, like you said, there was no pressing need where they thought, if we don't get somebody here, it's going to affect the season by a game or two.
Right.
And when that's the case, then maybe you're willing to overspend or to really push the issue because you know it's the difference between wins and losses. Here, this is a sorry market, if I'm being honest, compared to some of the other transfer portal markets we've seen. This does not have a bevy of great players. There is no Keon Coleman in this transfer portal cycle.
Why do you think the pundits, the people that cover the transfer portal, was so wrong? Because people seem to think this was going to be this bonanza of players coming available. Yeah. It really hasn't happened.
I think there's two reasons. One of which is your traditional media is still figuring out how to do this, how to cover this, and who to trust. Who do you believe in? Something so new, right? You don't have built up years worth of sources here like you did in other areas. Other times when you covered the sport, if you were a national guy, you could call certain people on the ground that you knew. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that many people in traditional media have that source anymore or have one that they trust implicitly. They also are learning to read the tea leaves in a process that's pretty new to the sport. Yeah. And I think they whiffed. I can tell you, without taking shots at folks, because there are guys that I would take shots at if I felt the need, but there were two or three guys, national guys, really pushing that narrative that, oh, it's going to be mass chaos. Well, their source was wrong, and they believed in it and went forward with it. When I talked to Ingram with the Battle's End and others about this, they were saying, I'm not so sure that's true. I don't know where this is going to come from and why. I'm not seeing it, because those people were talking about, Ira, this idea that big name schools were going to lose, right, 5 and 6 starters at a time. We've not seen anything like that. Nothing, yeah, like that, really.
And, you know, I think this is where you're fortunate, if you're Florida State, that you've done the work you've done ahead of this, because if you had believed that, if Florida State and the coaching staff had thought that this was going to be a really big open window for getting a lot of players, then maybe they wouldn't have taken maybe one or two of the guys that they took in December. And they did. And now you don't have a lot of needs. I mean, there have been times over the last 3 years where Florida State has needed to make some moves at this time of year. They really don't. Again, receiver to me is the one where, you know, if you went out and got DJ Uiagalelei, and if you felt like this is a team that has a chance to make the playoff and you're all in for that, I do think you got to get another receiver. I don't think you can go into this fall just hoping that some of those other guys get better. Because Malik Benson, to me, is your only real sure thing. I do think Hakeem Williams will get better. I do think, there's some potential with some of those other young guys. And whenever, with Destin Hill, whenever he's back available. But there's not a lot of sure things. And so if you've made the moves you made to put this team together, you need to feel really good about that receiver room. And I can't imagine they do right now. So I still think that that's going to be a place to move, and defensive tackle if you can do it.
What's interesting too is that we do know that obviously the price of these scarcity is going to drive the price up of these guys. And that's a factor too for every school. If you're in the market for a rotational piece at wide receiver, a rotational piece at defensive line, and say the guy you're looking to bring in is not a bona fide starter, he's not going to start over Daryl Jackson or Josh Farmer, he's just going to be maybe second or third string. I'm just using defensive tackle as an example. Well, okay, you may say, I have interest in player A. Okay, use whoever you guys want out there. You know the names that are out there, the Michigan State kids and a couple of others, right? Well, okay, we've got an idea, and you just hit on the point that they brought in a bunch of people in the previous cycle, right, to fill needs, all right, including a defensive tackle. So here we go. We've got an idea of what we'd like to do. Well, if a bunch of teams need that position, you may be out of luck, because some of those teams are going to be willing to go way up here if they're desperate. They're going to say, hey, I'll pay and use whatever fee, you want to say $700,000, $800,000 for this defensive tackle, because we don't have one. We need one right now, and this is going to be our starter. This is a guy that he has to play. We've had an injury and another guy transfer that we didn't expect. What are we going to do? Whereas Florida State and other teams might say, he's just a rotational piece to us. I'm not going to get bit over a barrel here. I'm not, you know, I mean, this is, we have a good defensive line. We feel good about the defensive line. It'd be great if we had one more guy, but I'm not spending $1 million on a guy that we had as a third stringer. And I think that's going on too. And this was not a good market for receiver, Ira. This, yeah. If you go back, and I'm not trying to take shots at the kids whose names are in the portal, but again, there is no Keon Coleman out there. There are some marginal guys that might help you. Again, you're not going to overpay for that. Some other team might, because they desperately need a guy. Our staff might, Florida State staff might go, yeah, we could use a guy, but I mean, I'm not gonna break the bank for an average player. If Darion Williamson stays, okay, let's just say he stays. All right, are you going to go into the portal to grab another Darion Williamson-type player? You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to take shots, sure. Darion, but you know what I mean.
And there's no reason to push somebody else out or encourage them to explain to them that there's not a great opportunity here for them so that they leave if you can only replace them with someone at the same level.
Similar player. They made that mistake at defensive end. Last year.
You know who's not in the portal? Corey Clark's not in the portal.
He's made it.
He's made it back.
He's alive and well.
He changed his mind. Look at that.
Sexy bald guy shirt and everything.
What's up, guys? Can you hear me okay?
Now I can.
You can hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Now the show can start. Have we talked about registers yet?
We did. And we were having a great discussion regarding the transfer portal and people's growing concerns that Florida State's not doing anything. I was just kind of vetting that and talking about why that might be. And certainly we got into not overspending for a rotational defensive tackle or a marginal wide receiver. And that this cycle is not great. And they brought in a bunch of people last cycle. So
don't you think some of the concern, some of the fretting or nail biting is because it's just missing out on the fun of getting new toys?
Yeah. Well, and they've been so good at it.
Right.
You know, we've been conditioned. I think Florida State fans have been conditioned because the success has been a rousing one that every time the portal opens up, Magic Mike makes his moves. And the next thing you know, Florida State's got a half new roster filled with players that are going to go on to get drafted in the NFL because that's what they've done. This might be a cycle where A, the talent in the portal isn't nearly what it was in other cycles. And B, their needs aren't nearly as many as they once were because they've elevated the floor of talent here on the roster. So again, you're not going to overspend Corey for a defensive tackle if you think he's a third string rotational piece, and you're not going to overspend on a marginal receiver. I was just using this example. If Darion Williamson stays, Corey, are you going to then, go back into the portal and get another Darion Williamson? You know what I mean?
Taking shots at Darion.
I'm not. I'm just talking about the level he's at and the production that he's provided up to this point. He may take a huge step. And, in fact, if they don't get anybody, they're going to need him to stay healthy and take a step.
You know, look, I think what it looks like it's become to me is, the February National Signing Day is as boring as anything in sports now. And I feel like Florida State did all its portal fun in December and in January. It's not like they just stood pat. They brought in, how many did they bring in? 11, 10, 5 and from Alabama?
14.
14.
14 plus the Rizzy kid that's coming in 15.
Oh, sweet Rizzy. We got Rizzy coming, baby. So that's what I think is lost here is that, you'd like a couple more pieces, but by and large, the spring window, it netted you Keon Coleman, Turnentine. Is that it? Usually all their damage is done in December and January. And I feel like maybe Malik Benson is the Keon Coleman of this class. You just happen to get him in January as opposed to April or May.
Yeah, they've got a few guys. I think Dylan Gibbons was around this time of year. He was after the spring. Obviously, Keon Coleman's the biggest one. And Turnentine was a late addition, but he helped. I think that's part of it. The other thing is it's also looking at Miami getting some transfers.
But they're all in. They're trying to do it. Yeah.
There's two things there. Number one is some of the guys that they're bringing in are positions that would not have done. Like they went and got one that made the best running back in the transfer portal, and he's a talented, great running back, but Florida State doesn't need a running back.
Doesn't need a running back.
So you weren't even in that competition. They went and got a DB. You don't need any DBs. You're stacked at DB. So it's not like you lost out to them on any of those. You weren't competing with them. And then in a couple other positions, Miami is all in. I mean, they are going to
overspend for guys because they're in the desperate mode to win and win now.
They have to see Mario succeed. So they're going to do everything they can to bolster that roster, which means overpaying for some of these players.
Yeah, I keep getting back to the overpaying part of this. It's so weird because we talk about it like it's pro football, but we kind of have to nowadays. It's like, you know, I used to get mad at the Bucks all the time. Like, who are you bidding against? You're bidding against yourself. Why are you overpaying for this guy? You know, we now look at these cycles in this marketplace and we're kind of like, well, I mean, I'd like that defensive tackle from the Big Ten, but I mean, he's not going to start here. I'm not even sure he's the second string. He's probably third string. It'd be cool. And then you kind of you hear whispers that it's going to cost him, you know, upwards of $1 million to bring a guy in like that because Texas wants him. Hey, man, good luck. Have at it, Texas. I'm not giving this guy $1 million because once you overpay there, the next cycle. Well,
and it affects your whole locker room.
Your whole locker room. Yeah. What are you going to say to Daryl Jackson? What are you going to say to Josh Farmer? What are you going to say to those guys? Yeah, it's potentially a problem, and they've navigated it well. I think they get the benefit of the doubt here. It is a little bit of perhaps FOMO, as the kids would say. Yeah, it's just people like, well, man, we've always hit it. We've always been the one. Yeah, we just were. Maybe this cycle is not one to do it. I mean, just to ease up off of this. I don't – it doesn't look like they're going to – I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to get anybody, but it doesn't look like they're going to, you know, make headlines with the guys they do bring
in. I think – to me, the most surprising thing is that nobody has entered the portal. Like, I would have thought
– Yeah,
I would have thought the three wide receivers that we most talked about last week was Deuce, Darian, and Kentron. If they're all still all on your team in June, yeah, you don't need to go get another one of those guys. You have them on your roster already. I thought they'd have to be replenishing the depth because they would have lost guys by now. But they so far they haven't. And Ira, are we one day away?
But, I mean, I think it's you get into what's the cause and what's the effect. I mean, if they felt like they could go out and get a couple of elite receivers, then maybe you let those guys know, hey, dude, you're not going to play a whole lot this fall. And then they go in the portal. But if they don't feel like the market's good, there's not a lot out there, then they're not having those conversations. Maybe the conversation's a little bit different. Hey, keep working on it. Keep working on it.
You know, this is your year, big dog. This is your year.
and so I think that that's probably the challenge. As Jeff said earlier, there's not a lot of good receivers out there. And it really sucks because I do think they got to get better. I don't think the answer is just more reps for some of the guys they have.
Yeah, it'd be nice if there was a guy that had interest and we were excited about him and it all lined up like it did last time. I don't know that that's going to happen this time. And again, you got to be careful not to overpay for a guy that's just a supplemental piece. At the same time, I agree with you, Ira. Both things can be true, right? They need to get better. It'd be nice if there was that answer. They're going to need guys to get better. I mean, I do think it's entirely possible you see a much better version of Akeem in the fall. Remember, spring is when guys are learning the playbook, especially a brand new quarterback. It's when you had a whole lot of new faces learning the playbook, understanding what they were going to be asked to do.
And sorry to interrupt, but we did talk about this last night on the Smash with Tom that, you know, they were going up against Azaria Thomas and Fentrell Cypress every day, which for a second year receiver's a challenge.
And who knew which plays were coming?
Right.
I mean, they were so. I mean, you watch this defense time and again, absolutely know what was coming. So it gets difficult. It's true. But I do sense it. I just know that people are like, well, what are we doing? And it's because I think we're spoiled in a good way because they've been so successful in the past. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hey, Headliners, Ira here, and it's time to talk Shopify. As you remember, a couple years ago, we wanted to create and sell Headlines merch for the best podcast listeners in the world. That's you. But we had no idea where to get started. Now we're selling Yay Sausage shirts, and it's so easy, all because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're a startup working out of your man cave or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to grow your business without all the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. You could be selling Don Julio socks from Shopify's in-person point of sale system, we're offering Headliner shirts from Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform. Whatever you need, you're covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow,
Grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/warchant now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/warchant.
Some of the headlines rolling on. If I don't hit that button, it echoes like it just did. But we're rolling. We're good. We're good to go.
Somebody pointed out that Tafasi and Bishop Thomas are back in the portal. By the way, Bishop Thomas now, I think I was texting with Matt about this earlier. I think Travis Jayus is still officially at Colorado, but all the other guys are gone.
I saw Amari Cooper's gone.
Duke Cooper's now in the portal. Bishop Thomas is gone. The Jarrett McClendon actually declared for the draft, and he was signed a free agent deal, I think, with the Panthers. But, yeah, the whole FSU to Colorado contingent is pretty much dried up. I heard Travis Jay is officially still there, but I've heard that it sounds like he's leaving too.
One thing to point out, too, is that it's different for every cycle. But, you know, if guys are perpetually in the portal, there's a reason guys are perpetually in the portal. So you're not always going to say, hey, listen, this guy's back available. Let's bring him back. Probably not. Probably not. Now, so to answer the question of Tafasi, no, they're not bringing Tafasi back.
No, I don't see that. Don't see that being in the cards.
It's too bad, because I think he would have been he had a chance to fight his way into the rotation this year, I think.
He would have, in all likelihood.
Maybe.
Maybe. Hey, here's what I would say.
On the field, I mean. His actual talent on the field, I thought,
but there's more to it than that, and that's
the problem. Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah, I think the other part, too, is as we watch this process play out and learn more about it with every cycle and how teams deal with it, which teams are, you know, handling it well and which ones aren't, which collectives do the right thing, which ones don't. Kids are still figuring this out, too. I mean, I know for a fact there's three or four former Florida State players that desperately want to be back at Florida State, and they burn the bridge, and it happens. I mean,
Tough luck, man. You're not 16. You're not 14. I mean, you make decisions, and there are repercussions.
Sometimes you get hardly ever greener. Yeah.
But, man, think of the decisions we made when we were 19 or 20.
Yeah, but we weren't, put more thought into it than that. Like,
yeah, but I think
we didn't have decisions that were that monumental in our lives. I hope we would have gotten better advice and thought harder about it.
But the problem
going to Colorado,
who's giving them the advice?
Right.
You know, the people that are giving them the advice, a lot of times, are people who are trying to siphon off of them. A lot of times the people encouraging these guys to go in the portal are people that are going to benefit financially or believe they will. And so you're going to get bad advice.
It's in the case of a couple of players from that went left here. That is true. Couple of others made terrible decisions that were immature and rash. A lot of people do at that age. And a couple of others, I think, got sold a bag of goods. I mean, there are a lot of kids that were told about a lot of opportunities that went elsewhere. And, you know, this is where they're learning, too, that that's not always true. I mean, this is a new landscape, and it's not all that regulated. I mean, people can say to kids, we're going to buy you a Porsche, and then they don't. And now I put my name out there. I turned my back on my school. I thought I was getting a Porsche, which if that's all you wanted, that's a problem. But anyhow, you get the drift. Like, certain promises are made and kids believe them. They get down there like, hey, man, where the hell is that Porsche?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there is no Porsche, brother. And oh, by the way, the $50,000 we said we were going to give you is $20,000.
I think a Porsche is a pretty good reason to leave. I'll be honest with you. If it's a brand new Porsche, I mean, that makes me think.
Like a nicer Porsche.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's a good enough reason for me to leave. I think maybe
not one of those crappy Porsches.
No, I'm talking about a 2024. Right. What are they called? Yeah. I don't know any Porsches, but 911. Do they still make Porsche 911?
911 to 914s.
Okay, so I was thinking, do you think that like the lack of kids in the portal from Florida State, my theory might be forming into, well, look at that, Duke Cooper's back in the portal, Bishop Thomas is back in the portal. Not one person that left this program in the last year and a half benefited by leaving this program. It would not appear. And if theirs did, it's probably 5% of the people that left. Malik McClain did not. Like we just said, Duke Cooper certainly didn't. Jarrett McClendon absolutely did not. Maybe that is a reason why these guys that might have been on the fence are looking at those guys, and they're good examples of why to stay home. Just a theory.
I could definitely see it's starting to give guys pause.
Yeah.
Nationally, nationally. This isn't a Florida State specific thing.
I'm glad that it is. I mean, kids need to know that it's not always better somewhere else. And you know, I don't want kids to get taken advantage of by unsavory actors, right? We've talked about that before, that does in that space. It's not like in the NFL where you have legitimized agents that have been working with teams and clients for a long time. So if I'm coming out, I could say, well, I've got a pick of this agency, and this agency. What's their track record? Oh, well, they've represented 174 NFL players in the last 10 years, and this is their track record. Okay, well, I know then what I'm getting. That's not this. Right. This is my Uncle Ted says we should go to Colorado. Well, man, Ted doesn't know what I'm saying.
Then don't you blame the kid for listening to Uncle Ted over Mike Norvell and Adam Ford? Man,
at 19, a family member says something.
Well, a couple of these kids were not 19. I guess that's my point. A couple of them weren't just fresh out of high school. And again, you're letting yourself be taken advantage of. And you do. I do think one of the positives that Florida State has is I do think they have a head coach that these players trust inherently. They should anyway, more than their Uncle Ted. Or some guy that's kind of a fringe guy that they know that can try to get him a better deal. And you can go to Mike Norvell and be like, man, I think I can earn more money out there. I think Norvell will shoot it to you straight and be like, man, yeah, you think that,
and I agree with you to an extent, but you also, again, man, we have these conversations about like decisions we all made when we were younger. You start to wonder, okay, well, why is that guy telling me that? Is he have my best interest at heart, or does he just want me to stay because he wants me to stay?
But so, don't you think that's a positive for Florida State that we do think that those players in particular do think that Norvell has their best interest at heart? I mean, the current players on the roster.
For the most part, until you come to a situation where you've got to make a decision, then you start wondering what everybody's motivations are. And so I think it's natural. I mean, I just don't blame these kids because, again, we're asking them to make real world life decisions as 19 or 20 or 21 or 22 year olds. I mean, dude, I did the dumbest crap ever when I was that age. I mean, the things I did, the things I said to people, I mean, just there's so many things I wish I could take back. You don't think that's happening to college football players? And especially in situations where there's money at stake. I mean, I did dumb things and said dumb things with nothing at stake.
Yeah, I think that there's time. You got to go case by case.
Corey, you didn't.
I'm saying like that. That's just life, man. Yeah, look at what happened. There are repercussions for making bad decisions.
I largely agree with you, Ira. I do think there have been kids that you know have to mature and get much more emotionally stable. But that also is rooted in something that goes well beyond anything we're going to talk about here.
And I'm not saying you should take them back.
No.
They screwed up. But I also don't think we should ridicule them because I think it's a tough situation, man.
There are
these guys are all at the door to this new phenomenon. Like this is
we're watching them learn on the fly. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of this. The only time I ever have resentment is when a kid flies off the handle and says crazy stuff about a school or its coaches or his teammates. I got no time for that, especially when we know it's not true or wasn't true. I could deal with that. You can have character issues at any age, and that's when I'm like, red flag, we got a problem, screw that kid. But for most of the people, I'm of the same mindset. I kind of feel bad for him, especially when you hear about the things afterwards where you realize, well, this kid was told repeatedly by somebody he really trusted that this was going to be a great scenario for him. I can't imagine what it's like the moment that you get somewhere after you, this person that you love and trust tells you this, and you get there and you go, oh, well, none of this is true. I had a really good at Florida State. What the hell? And now you're screwed because some of those kids have reached back out and been told, no, man, we're done here.
The beauty though, again, I guess going back to my point is that those are great examples for Florida State to use. Now, Sam McCall is a great example. Tafossi's a great example. Duke Cooper, McClendon. All these guys are examples. If some kid comes to you because he's unhappy as a freshman, you'd be like, okay, look, man, look what happened to these guys when they left. We think you're going to be a starter in a year for food. Now, there are plenty of guys on the roster that you'd be like, yeah, man, go get them. You can do it. We're holding you back. But the guys that you want to keep, man, here you go. Here's an example. Here's a litany of dudes that thought that the grass was greener and it ended up being doo-doo brown.
You know how
that should be a poem, by the way.
Good reference. You think they, you know how like in the football offices at Florida State at every school, they'll have like the pictures of all the guys in the NFL.
Are the All-Americans? Yeah.
Do they have another one? The dudes that went in the portal and like put like they left here to go here and then like destination unknown.
Would the big huge like a huge sign unknown. Above where it could just say, "Let this be a lesson to you"?
No, yeah. You know, be more subtle.
No, no, like in the wild, like go all in. On the Wild West, when criminals get caught, they put their dead bodies outside the saloon. This is what happens to grifters around here. Here you go. You could end up here. Yeah. Just so and so with a picture of.
I think Mike Norvell's going a little class here. Just like we wish them well. We wish them well.
Oh, that's nice, but still have the pictures of those kids.
Right.
Yeah. We wish them well. Good, actually, because that could be a sarcastic we wish them well.
Oh, it's definitely a sarcastic.
100% is.
That's not classier at all, then.
Well, we can act like it is. That's the best part.
Yeah, it's not classy at all. I think mine is better. We're shooting you straight. Screw these kids. No. Here's the hall of screw these kids. There they are. There's a bunch of them.
Bless How about them. Just a room with all the transfer portals you brought in? So it's Verse, Jermaine Johnson, Jamie Robinson, Fist, Travis, all in all. And then the same room has the guys that left. And the players themselves can form an opinion on who's winning the game, who's doing better by leaving, and who's doing better by staying or coming in.
All right. I think we've vetted enough of the transfer portal for now. We'll have to switch gears when we come back and go into another subject. We can either go
FSU basketball.
Well, you know, Taylor Swift had come out with a new album, so we'd be all the material. I'm sure Corey knows it backwards and forwards, given his wife.
I've heard a few songs.
Could be happening next. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
So how about the baseball team, guys? That's a nice road series win against a top 10 team in Duke. And sooner or later, you're going to get more of these arms back. We did see Ben Barrett make his way back. Hopefully he'll be able to shoulder more of a pitching load down the line. But
then the two pitches he threw?
Yeah.
Let's hope.
You never know when you're going to need that pitch, Corey. Right. One hit. He's going to come in and throw that cutter. Mm-hmm. We got this.
Yep. I got two pitches in me, Coach.
Yeah. But anyhow, I do, you know, listen, I kind of felt like if they could tread water during a 10-game stretch or so, that they'd be all right and put themselves in a position that they're in right now, which is to come home for a huge important series against NC State and hopefully be that much closer to the arms being back, because if they are, then you can start slotting people in the proper spot, and all of a sudden the bullpen's not a problem because you're not asking people to get guys out that you never anticipated having to pitch. They just got to be ready for that by the time they get to the postseason, right? And in the interim, keep winning series. You got a chance. This will be a fun weekend at Hauser, by the way. That's a big series against NC State. That'll be fun.
Yeah, they're good too, right? They're top 15, I think. Yeah,
the whole ACC, it seems.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, though, on the students. Like, it's finals week for students, so I don't know how many of them
they're
are
going to be
ready
to drink.
Or if they may be on the road, we'll see if they're even here this weekend. So that could diminish. The crowds have been incredible. I mean, to get as many 6,000 crowd as they've had during the regular season has been awesome. I don't know that you're going to get that for these last couple home series. We'll see. But they should be fun because, again, you've done the hard part. You know, you kind of navigated a really brutal stretch. And, they should be able to rack up some more wins. And they're already in the top. They're in the top eight right now in the RPI. So they've got a good chance to – I still don't know if they'll get in the top eight national seed, but definitely host a regional for sure.
I feel like they need to get to, if they get six more wins in any combination here over the next month, that I think that's the goal. If you get six wins, you're treading water top 10-ish, and I think there's a real good chance you get a top eight national seed because, look, man, if they're going to Omaha, I think it has to go through Hauser. I don't trust this bullpen in an SEC environment having to get six outs.
How can you say that, Corey?
I know. I've seen, and it ain't like Duke is a snake pit now. They don't pitch well on the road. Most of those guys are just different pitchers at Hauser. So getting that top eight national seed is just paramount. Because if you can do that, I just think it makes it a lot easier. Like if you're the nine seed and you have to go play at A&M or Arkansas or
anybody Tennessee. Going to play at A&M or Arkansas is going to have
Tennessee, like any LSU, any school that's got going to have that kind of crowd. I just don't know that I try. I think this bullpen could really, really use pitching at Hauser.
I just want to point out that it's once again an absurd process. If you're the 9 seed, you ought not be playing a 2 or a 3 or a 4 at any point.
You might not. I think they've done a better job of that recently of trying to match them up.
Because for years they hid behind some nonsense about security.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You shouldn't have to do that. But I would say, again, I agree with you. It's not ideal to go on the road in those environments with the way this bullpen is pitched. That said, this bullpen wouldn't be nearly as dicey if everybody was pushed back into their proper roles. If all of a
wouldn't
sudden,
that be nice?
Yes. And like, think about what you've received from Dorsey, who now is a legit starter who, even when they, let's say both guys come back, would you pull him out of the rotation? I'm not sure I would. Probably not, right? So you've figured out another starter, a guy who could throw 100-plus pitches if you need him. And now you extend it. Now you'd have 4 starters if they came back, plus Ben Barrett. And all of a sudden now, guys that you're asking to pitch in games don't have to pitch in games, period, because everybody gets slotted back further.
One nice thing about this whole thing, I don't know if it's all by design or not. I think part of it is by design, but part of it was necessity. They have evaluated everybody now. I think back to those, a lot of the last, 10 years or so under Mike Martin Sr., where he would rely on the same middle reliever and the same setup man every game. And so you never got to see if anybody else could do anything, where now they have a pretty good idea of who can do what in what situation.
They have too good an idea. How many times do I have to see Larry out here again? Jesus, guys. I mean, this is, I thought we learned what we needed to learn the first 7 times he came out. I mean, it's been a bit rough a few times. So
do you guys think in an overall overarching college baseball discussion, and we'll go back to the fun stuff and football and the draft. There's got to be something up with the bats for the balls, right? Like, James Tibbs has 18 home runs. It is 12 behind the national leader. We're not in May yet. The kid from Georgia might end up hitting 40 home runs in the SEC. The other kid from Florida, who's awesome, by the way, he's an incredible baseball player. It's not just the home runs. He hits every ball hard. What's his name? Caglione?
Yes.
He's got 28, and they play in the SEC. So 29, 28 home runs. Tibbs is out here. Like, I got 8. I'm on a pace to hit 30. And I'm not even in the national leaders. It's nuts.
It's a fair question. It's a fair question.
Yeah, it's a fair question. But, Corey, I don't appreciate you constantly referencing the SEC. The ACC is every bit as good as the SEC this year.
No, I'm saying usually those guys that have those huge power numbers come from, like, the WAC.
Oh, I
see. MAC. They don't come from the SEC or ACC. That's what's crazy. It's not doing it against bad competition.
Well, it is, because, again, when they switch back, when they deaden the bats, and then they,
there was the one year when they went out there to TD Ameritrade when they switched over. Babe Ruth wouldn't hit
out of the infield.
Ridiculous.
It was actually unwatchable that year because you see guys just square one up perfectly. It'd be caught 15 yards in front of the fence.
But it does feel like it's gone back. It's not just corrected itself. It does. I don't know, have any data, but I feel like Corey's right. I mean, look at the power numbers. When I was looking at just some team stats, he talked about Tibbs individually, but team stats. Like, FSU's had a great year from a homer standpoint. Tennessee's got like 40, I don't know, maybe 40 more than them or something. It's crazy.
I'm all for it.
To an extent, I don't need to see 15 to 14 out in Omaha if it happens, but I would say this.
Wouldn't that be a night? I would. That's a refreshing change of pace from 3-1.
I don't want to see 15, 14. Because then you're not rewarded for actually being a decent pitcher either.
Well, I get it, but still.
But one thing I would say is, I have also noticed a trend that even amongst the good teams, bullpens are a problem everywhere. Go look around. There are a lot of bullpens that are not very good. They got one or two guys that you're like, okay, if this guy comes in the 6th, he can bridge us to. But it's a nightmare when you're looking at like 6th inning, 7th inning, 8th inning. There's not a lot. I've seen a lot of good teams, highly ranked teams, struggle to get outs late.
I feel like – so I think when Brady hits his peak athletically and physically, he'll probably be able to throw 82 to 84 miles an hour.
Change of pace out of the pen?
I mean, all these guys – like, it's when you watch a position player pitch in Major League Baseball. It ain't like they get tattooed because they're not used to that speed. It's basically just change-ups. So I think there's a role for either knuckleballers to come back, because all these kids can hit 95 now. It doesn't faze them. So have somebody come out of the pen throwing 82 just over the top, good luck. You're going to be out in front, hit a ground ball to short, or have a knuckleballer. There aren't any knuckleballers anymore, man. Knuckleballers are hard. Knuckleballs are hard to hit.
Third baseman everywhere. I like, shut your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, play back a little bit.
Corner while my man's throwing 82. No chance.
Usually when kids go on recruiting visits, they just play. Like, they perform. They show what they can do. Like, they go to these clinics or camps. They want to show what they can do. Corey's just going to go with Brady to these schools and pitch this idea, this concept.
So this is my son. Tops out at about 83. You've not seen anything like it in either of your hitters.
Yes, so exactly like right.
Let's get him out here, throw a little bit. A little BP.
Now look, one BP, time through the lineup. Give him one time through the lineup. The second time, they're going to figure him out probably. He's got about two or three innings in him tops, because then they'll probably time the 83. But, yeah, it's crazy. I think it's – everybody throws 90s, so there it doesn't – you get a barrel to the ball to a 94-mile-an-hour fastball, it's going to go hard and far. That's just what happens.
With an
it's crazy. I like it, though. I like watching this team hit. I like watching college baseball where they're not all 4-1 games anymore.
Well, and they haven't been in a while, and I agree with you. And this is fun to watch. Yeah, I'm not saying it needs to be 2-1, but I don't need what it was way back in the early 90s, Corey, when we go
out
there.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, there's a happy medium. Well, it could be because of that part.
Alabama and LSU in the College World Series was like 24-18. They're not even baseball.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is true or not, but this is Aslan brought up in our chat, that it seems like the longer series go on, to your point about bullpens and also just lack of quality, by Sundays, these games are getting ridiculous.
Every time when Sunday rolls, well, especially with this team,
our view might be skewed.
Yeah, well, I will tell you this. I left Tampa on Sunday. I was down in Tampa over the weekend, and I got in the car and I was driving and I started thinking about what I was going to listen to, either a podcast or music. And I was like, oh, let me put Lulu on. I listened to the Sunday baseball game against Duke. And I had to use the app with the Seminoles.com thing so I could hear it. I'm like, and I get about a mile or two outside of Tampa. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be hideous. I don't want to hear this. I know what's about to happen. And we scored two runs in the first. I'm like, here we go, Knowles. All right. Yeah. By the third or fourth inning, I'm like, okay, we're done here.
By the second inning. The second inning lasted an hour. They gave up 10 or 12 runs or whatever. Yeah,
I'm just sitting there like, okay, well, we're done here. I'm done. And I should have known better that it was going to be whole staff and we don't have anything left. But I was not angry because they did what they needed to do, which was take out the first two games and nail-biting fashion, 8-7 in that second game. They have had guys. It's not like that entire bullpen has failed when called upon. It's just that they run out of guys, to your point.
Well, and I was listening to the second game in the radio, listening to Lulu.
That was an awesome game.
And not the whole game, but just the end of it. I had to go to the store, and I was in the
park. I want our listeners to appreciate how invested we are in Florida State sports. Two of the three hosts have admitted to listening to college baseball on the radio. Yeah. One even found it on an app. I want you guys to appreciate that.
I did. So
I got to the grocery store, and it was the bottom of the inning, bottom of the ninth, and I turned it on just,
I was trying to lose it, and you're thinking, oh, no.
And, I mean, maybe I may have expected it. Like, I was expecting it, and then I heard the bat hit the ball, and it sounded pretty sharp. And it was a line out to end it.
Yeah.
And Corey told me it wasn't.
It wasn't.
When I heard it on the radio, I was man, that's a gapper.
I like that somebody else does what I do. I do it with both pro and college baseball. If I'm listening on my radio and I'm driving, I listen for the sound of the bat. And then I instantly, that's a double in the alley. Sweet Jesus. And I never get it right, actually. It's kind of sad. They're usually like, pop up to short. Like, oh, good. I think I'm a fatalist. I think that's what it is. This is going to be off the wall for sure. This is clearing the bases. They're like, foul back. I do it all the time.
Before we go to the next hour, because I didn't talk to either one of you guys about it, who was the draft pick you were most excited for?
Well, and I want to get into the draft, and we can do that both when we answer questions and talk about what we can talk about right now.
Great, man. Just answer my question. Let's go.
The guy I was excited for?
Yeah, the most excited for. I mean, we're excited for all of them.
I'm excited for all.
I think mine was Jarian.
I'll be honest with you. Mine was Tatum Bethune.
All right.
That's a good one.
Mine was Tatum Bethune.
Are we deciding
because...
based on what we originally saw or after we watched the videos of game?
No,
but hey, it's all encompassing, Ira.
It was all awesome. The reason I say Tatum Bethune is I was fairly certain he was not going to get drafted. I didn't think he was going to get drafted. And for a guy who played through a lot of injuries in his career, and a guy who played through the injury in the ACC championship game that I watched him go into the tent for and come out and saw how much pain he was in to the point where I was thinking he's not going back in. And then to make that interception, that huge play down along the goal line, I do like to see guys, no matter what I assess them as players while they're here or what I think they bring or don't bring to the table, if you got a ton of heart and you're a football playing fool and your teammates love you and you lay it on the line, well, then I want you to do well. I want you to succeed. And so when he got drafted, I just thought, well, that's cool. No matter what happens from here, that'll never be taken away from him. He'll be able to say years and years from now, I got drafted. That's awesome. Cause I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. I would say, obligatory, all of them. And that's honestly, I mean,
of course we're all happy for Jordan to get drafted in the fifth round was amazing.
Yeah. But, I think I was probably most excited for Renardo Green just because, you know, again, like there was a time, and I don't know if this story will ever be written, but there was a time in his career at Florida State where it looked like it may not work out at Florida State. Like it wasn't on the right path. Things weren't going well for him in this program. And then something clicked between him and the coaching staff. They got him at a corner. They got him in the right position. His mindset got a whole lot better. It took off in a way that nobody could have envisioned. And then to be a second round pick of
that's
a,
awesome.
I mean, it's just if I have a great team, a great organization, a great defense, that's incredible.
He really did too. It should be noted. I think you're harping on the right things here. Not just did he turn his career around, he became like legit badass.
Yeah.
Like think about what those LSU receivers were and then think about the game that he had and how well he played in those situations and then go on to some of the other big games that he had. He was, after a while, you stop pinching yourself and just assume he was going to have great start after, I mean, great game after great game.
Yeah, he was good. He was a very good college cornerback.
In the his media session with the reporters out there, they were asking some questions about his game or whatever. He's like, well, I mean, look at that LSU game. Look at those guys I was going against. I went against both of them. And I did pretty well, and that's kind of what I did. And we don't hide from anybody. It's press man. You know you're getting press man when you play us, and I did pretty well. I mean,
he did do very
well. Fact.
Yeah, he did do very well. I do think it was cool for all of us to be able to watch in the remaining minute and a half that we have here for this hour. I mean, when the Rams posted that with Verse and Fisk, I'm out here crying. Ira, you made me cry when you posted the damn thing with Bethune. I wasn't expecting it. And then I'm listening to that when he starts to choke up talking to his linebacker coach. I'm like, damn, man. I know I'm getting soft in my old age, but I start choking up. I was so happy for
all of them. Well, who are you most excited for, Corey?
Well, I think Jarian. And that reaction, too, might have played a part because his social media team did a good job of showing him, like, sweating the picks. Like, he's not having a good time. He's sitting on the couch. He's doing this. And then he gets drafted. Now, they might have done that in post. Like, that might have – he might have done all that after he got the call just to make it more dramatic.
But even when he was talking to the team, he's like, I was ready 30 picks ago. You know, he believes he should have been. I'm not saying he's mad about it, but he believes he could have gone much higher.
Well, I talked about this on Wake Up, but every single one of those dudes, all 10 of them, have such a unique, cool story.
Right.
In the power of self belief for all of them. Jarian still being at Florida State in 2023 is an upset to where he was in 2020, Renardo Green going back and forth, Jordan Travis, Verse and Fisk, where they came from, like all of it's just it was such a unique, special team. And those 10 draft picks were really fun to cheer for because of all their unique stories and journeys to get. They weren't ready-made All-Americans, going to be a surefire NFL draft pick, but they turned themselves into it, which was really neat.
Keon is the only one that was like,
he was
ready-made 3 years and I'm done.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Next hour, we'll get to it. Headliner questions will be forthcoming, and we'll talk more about the draft. We barely got into it here, scratched the surface, and what that means for Florida State's program, because it means a lot. Both of you two wrote articles about it, and it was interesting. I talked about it. We'll be back in a moment.